Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. Welcome to everyone who's listening live on Radio 1, Station 1450 AM, here in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. Welcome to everyone who's listening over the internet at woldcnews.com, lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com, and over the various free apps that are available now for listening to the radio. We had planned a very good program for you, but so far, at least, my guest has not called in. But we'll go on and get started. The information that we give you is going to be educational and strictly for informational purposes only. Law is really powerful. It can help you or it can hurt you. It impacts everything that you do. What you don't know can hurt you, and what you do know can empower you. Each week, my objective with this program is to empower you by bringing you lawyers and other professionals to share their expertise and their knowledge with you. But please remember, there's no attorney-client relationship established by anything that's said on the program. If you need help legally, please get your own lawyer. Get consultation with the lawyer and seek individual assistance. It's very, very important. We truly are here to help you. You can call in at 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876 with questions. Law is really powerful. It can help you or it can hurt you. It impacts everything that you do. What you don't know can hurt you, but what you do know empowers you. So each week, my objective is to empower you. Please make sure that you stay up with the news. I just came back from the St. Louis, the NBA, the National Bar Association. It was formed when the American Bar Association would not allow black people to be a part of their organization. Unfortunately, some people think that because we have integrated the American Bar and other things, we no longer need these, but we need our organizations more than ever before. Okay. All right. I am here to answer questions as best I can with information. And so I understand from Daryl that we do have a caller on the line. Good morning. May I help you?
Good morning. Yes. I hope this is not a silly question, but what is probate and what is the purpose?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
Okay.
No, seriously, it's an excellent question. I'd be glad to give you information about it because people need to know.
Okay.
Probate is the legal process that is overseen by a court, usually called the probate court, the register of wills. In some states, it's called the orphan's court. I'm not sure why, but that's what it's called. But it is the process by which a court oversees the distribution of property that belonged to a deceased person to those that are alive. In general, that is, it's a legal process, and it has a lot of different procedures, documents, and so forth. It starts with a petition for administration of an estate. In some states, it's called petition for probate. Technically, probate is really, it used to strictly be when you had a will. You probated a will. So when somebody died, you would bring in the death certificate, the original will, and you bring it before the court. And the court admits it to probate, it's called, okay? If there is no will, you still, the law, every state has a law that says when you die without a will, this is the way in which your property is to be distributed. It's called the law of intestacy. So every state says if you die without a will, this is how your assets are going to be distributed. And it usually talks in terms of if you have a spouse and you have children, then the spouse gets a percentage and the children get a percentage. If you have no spouse, in some states, the parents get, if they are alive. If they have children, though, then often the children take before the parents, okay? If you don't have any children, then the parents step in. If your parents are deceased, then the brothers and sisters step in, and on and on and on, okay? So there's the law of intestacy that governs distribution if you have no will. If you have a will and the will is deemed to be valid, it is admitted to probate. In both instances, the court oversees the distribution of the assets, and that process is what we generically call probate, okay? So it starts, most states have a petition for probate. They may call it a petition for administration of an estate. Sometimes it's called an information report, although that's different in Maryland. But basically what it is the person seeking the authority to manage the assets of the deceased person is called the personal representative or the executor. If they're filing the petition, usually they are the person also filing the petition. In the petition, which is a document, a court form usually, they're called the petitioner. And the petitioner asserts that they are entitled to be appointed. They file the petition and it says why they have the right to file the petition. If there's a will and they're the person that's named in the will, then they say, because I'm named as a personal representative in the will. If they are the spouse of the person that died, they have priority. So they said, I am the spouse of the person. The person died without a spouse and they are a child of the person who died. Then they say, I'm a child of the person who died. If they are a creditor can file a petition for probate, okay? Then they say that they are the creditor. And then the petition recites different things. When the person died, where the person died, why does this court have the jurisdiction over it? In other words, usually the court where the person had their primary place of residence, lawyers call it the domicile, is where you open probate. So usually you say the person was domiciled in the District of Columbia or in Maryland or whatever state it happens to be in. And you file your petition for administration of the estate in the state where the person lives and in the county where that person lives. Okay? Every county has a court that handles probate. And I'm using the term generically right now. And then the petition usually goes on to ask for what were the assets of the person that the person died owning that needs to be probated. And so you say, for example, in D.C., you would have the address of the person, and by law, we're allowed to use the tax assessment value. So you look at the tax assessment value of the property, and you use that. You get that off of the tax bill. Okay, it's a public record. If you have the address, you can get the assessed value. Then you say, did they have any bank accounts? I'm going to come back to non-probate property, but let me just continue with what you recite. If they had bank accounts, if they had, any other assets that the person may have had that you know about when you get started. Now, a lot of times you don't know, but maybe they own the house, okay? But you just to get started so that you can get appointed, you put down what you know, okay, on this petition in terms of what you know about their assets. If the funeral expenses were paid, what are called interested persons. Interested persons are persons who would inherit if there was no will. So, for example, if the person died without a will and they had children and a spouse, then you name those persons. If they had no spouse, you name the children. If they had no children, then you name, whoever the next in line is. If the person had a will, then you have to name everybody that, in addition to those persons, you have to also name everybody that's listed in that will, and you have to give their name, their address, their relationship to the deceased person, okay? So even if they're just a friend, you just say friend, you know? But you need the name and the address of that person. And if the person is under 18 years of age, you have to tell the court that, okay? So, and sometimes people are what we call legatees. In other words, they just receive something in the will. That's called a legacy. And so they're called a legatee. But you have to say all the different things that they are. You know, they may be a son and a legatee. You know, they may be the personal representative and a daughter. You know, whatever they are, you tell the court that. And then if you are the petitioner and you're doing the petition, then you sign certain things that say, you know, I agree to abide by the law in administering this estate. We've got to take a break, but hold on. I'm going to come back and continue the trying to explain to you, because this is a really important question. Thank you very much for it, okay? But hold on. We have to take a break. Okay.
1450 WOL.
I'm so excited. I haven't been to a concert in years.
I know. Bring your man in. See who could get us in the VIP session.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You are listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. And I've been explaining a really good question, trying to answer a very good question about what is probate. If you have questions, Daryl is here to receive your calls at 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. And if you would like to contact me for an appointment, my office is 240-638-2828. Let me come back to the question, which was an excellent question. What is probate? I just finished explaining how a probate starts with the filing of a petition and what the information is needed to go into the petition. It depends. Each state is a little bit different. In some states, all the information that I just gave you in terms of when and where the person died, you need a certified death certificate, who the persons are who would inherit from them, their name, their address, and their phone number. And if the person had a will, the name, address of every person that's named in that will. That information is given to the court. Along with that document, the petition, each state has other requirements. In D.C., for example, if you, let's say you are the person who died lived in D.C., but the person who's filing the petition lives in Maryland. This is not uncommon. In the D.C. courts, you then sign a document. You know, at the bottom of the page, there's a, when you say, I promise to, you know, administer the estate according to law, you also have to say, I authorize the Register of Wills to receive service of process on the estate, meaning if somebody wanted to sue the estate, they would contact and serve papers on the Register of Wills right there. In Maryland, what is required is if you, let's say you have a decedent who died in Maryland, but you live in D.C., you then have to find someone in Maryland to sign saying that they will receive service of process if somebody wants to sue the estate. So it's important that you use a lawyer that is accustomed to doing this kind of work in the state and often in the county where you need them to file these documents. Along with the petition, now, that's the petition, that's part of what gets it started, you almost always have to file what's called a notice of appointment. And that's the notice you see in the newspaper. It's a notice that says that this person has been appointed. Your name, you know, has been appointed, and often the address has been appointed, you know, personal representative or executor, depending on the state, of the estate of, and then the name, deceased. What's important about that notice is it often usually says the 6-month period after which all claims are barred. And what that means is it's notice to the world that if this you think this person owed you money, you've got to come in and file your claim. If you think that you are an heir and you have not been named, all unknown names, unknown heirs, you also have to come in and file your claim. And if you have any objections to the appointment of the person or to the will that has been offered for probate, if you think that there's something wrong with it, then, or it's not valid, you have that 6-month period in which to come in and file your claim. And that's why I tell people, if you have an objection, you need to say it quickly. Did you have a question? Were you about to ask me something more? Oh, yeah. Yeah, anybody who was born or adopted by the deceased person. Yes.
Okay, that was one of the
questions. Yes.
Now, how do you know when you mentioned that at times you don't need to go to probate?
Right.
And that occurs when?
When you don't have property that needs to be probated, and that's what I wanted to make sure and make clear. There are certain things that you can do with your property that makes it possible for them to pass at your death without going through probate. And let me give you some examples. The most common one is if you are married and you own property together as tenants by the entirety, meaning both persons' names are on the deed as tenants by the entirety. When one dies, the other one owns it outright. You don't have to go through probate for that to happen. It's automatic.
It's automatic.
It's automatic. There's a form. Wait. Yeah, okay. Well, it has to be done before you die. It's done by deed.
Right. Well, that's at settlement usually.
Yes, usually.
When that occurs. Okay, so that.
But it can be, just so you know, it can be done after settlement.
Oh.
Let's say, for example, sometimes people buy a house before they get married. You can't have tenants by the entirety if you're not married, okay? But you can redo, you can do another deed from the same two people. Because I've seen it done, and I've done it for people. They get married, and then they do another deed. It's just from themselves to themselves as tenants by the entirety.
Okay, then that brings on another question. If, in fact, tenants in entirety was established at the time of settlement, and these are D.C. residents, does a new deed have to be established with the surviving spouse?
No, it's automatic. A lot of people will do or feel more comfortable saying that their spouse died, you know, but you don't have to.
Okay.
It happens by operation of law.
Okay, so if there are some hidden children that surface or offspring that surface from...
They have nothing to do with that because when the spouse, okay, assuming it's tenancy by the entirety, okay, when one of them dies, the other one owns it outright. It passes free of any claims of any children or anything else. Okay? Now, similar to that is a deed that can be done not by married people. You can still have a deed that says we are joint tenants. I like to say joint tenants with rights of survivorship, so there's no question. But joint tenancy, for example, maybe you have two sisters or two brothers who are, or whoever, you know, unmarried people. But they want to make sure that when one of them dies, the other one owns it outright, and they want to do it outside of probate. Then you can do your deed, or you can have a lawyer do a deed for you that says this is now owned by these two people, you know, Abe and Arlene, as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Again, it passes automatically. When Abe dies, Arlene owns it outright. Okay? Another way, and that's outside of probate. Another way for that to happen is DC now has what's called a transfer on death deed. Virginia has it also. And what that says is while you're alive, you say, it's a particular kind of deed, and it says, when I die, I want this person to own my property. You have to sign, it's a particular kind of deed. It has to have all the recitations in it. It is revocable, okay? It has to say it's revocable, which means you can change your mind. Okay. It does not take effect until you die, but it has to be recorded while you are alive, okay? Again, that's the kind of deed that avoids probate at the time of your death. It happens automatically. Now, I've been told by some other lawyers, I've not run into it myself, that the title companies raise questions when you go to try and sell a property that you get that way. I don't know that to be true personally, but that's another kind of deed. In Maryland, there's another kind of deed that's called an enhanced life estate deed. And what that says is, I deed my property to the person that you want to get it. Okay, let's say it's a father and a son. Mm-hmm. The father does a deed and the deed says, I give this property to my son, mm-hmm. but reserving to myself a life estate. And we call that with powers. And what that does, it also goes on to say, I reserve to myself not only the right to live in the house for the rest of my life, but I reserve the right to sell the house if I want to without having to give my son anything. Without his permission, I can do anything I want to with this property as long as I am alive. Okay? But when I die, it automatically goes to the son or whoever you've said. Okay? So that's how you can get your home or whatever, you know, real property we call it, you know, something that's attached to land, to move outside of probate. You don't do it with minors. If you want minor children, no, don't do that. I don't even advise it when you have more than two or three people that you're trying to give it to, because at that point, then all of them got to agree, and often they don't, okay? But that's how you can get it outside of probate.
One last question.
Okay.
Outside of, should a deed be done in the way you just described, is that something that needs to be on the will?
No.
It can be done by the recorder of deeds and not be on the will, as explained.
Okay, let me back up a little bit. Okay. The deed should be prepared by a lawyer that knows how to do these kinds of deeds. Okay. And then that deed is recorded at the recorder of deeds office. It will override anything else that's in the will. It doesn't matter what the will has to say. If you've already recorded a valid deed, okay, remember it's got to have all the requirements of execution and be a valid deed with the proper description of the property and so on like that, okay? But that is how you do it. It is not, the recorder of deeds doesn't do it. You bring it to the recorder of deeds to record, okay? And when I come back, you also need to do something with your bank accounts, and I'm explaining that to you as well so that they can go outside of probate as well, okay? All right, we have to take a break right now. We'll be right back. Very good question.
Where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. And we are talking today about wills, trust, estate planning. I had an excellent question, and I encourage you, if you have a question, please call. No question is silly. And this was an excellent question because it allows me to try to explain the area of law that I concentrate in, and that is wills, trust, and estate planning. And the question sounded simple, but it's very important that people understand what is probate. So I just, and if you have other questions, please do call Darrell Farley. My engineer is here to receive your calls at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. If you want to reach me, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, my office number is 240-638-2828. Now back to the question of probate. I explained partly how you start a probate earlier by filing the petition in the court, submitting the death certificate, telling the court who is the representative, who is the petitioner, by what right you petition, who are the persons who would have inherited without a will, their name, address, and their relationship to the decedent. If there is a will, everybody named in the will, their name, their address, their relationship to the decedent. And then there are some other things that you have to provide as well. There's property, however, that does not have to go through probate. And I explained about deeds, how you can do husband and wife or whoever's married, however we define marriage these days. It would allow that couple to be able to pass property directly without having to go through probate, and that's by having tenancy by the entirety. It's only available to married people, and so if you have your deed and the deed says so-and-so as tenants by the entirety, when one person dies, the other one will automatically own it without having to go through probate or anything else. You don't even have to have a deed to say it. Some people like to do a deed that says, you know, my person died, here's a death certificate, so now I'm the sole owner. Usually what happens is when you get ready to sell the property or when that person dies, then you recite that my spouse predeceased me in death, and you submit a copy of the death certificate at that point. If you are not married, you can have a joint tenant with rights of survivorship deed. Operates the same way. When one person dies, the other one owns it automatically by operation of law with the same result. I also then talked about the enhanced life estate deed in Maryland and the transfer on death deed in D.C. and Virginia. And in other states, there are other kinds of deeds. Okay, there are life estate deeds throughout the country. You need to talk to a lawyer in your state, have it prepared in the way in which you want. Under no circumstances, however, should you have a deed going to a minor child. Do not do that, please. The other way in which you can avoid having to probate your property and having your property to be distributed without having to go through court is if you have bank accounts, retirement accounts, life insurance, death benefits, you simply name your beneficiaries. So on your bank accounts, every bank has a form. It's called the Payable on Death Form, POD. You go to the bank, you fill out that form, and you say for each account, pay on death, and then you name the persons or the persons that you want to receive with the funds that are in that account. Again, it means that it will happen automatically. When the person dies, all you have to do is to bring in a death certificate, and your proof of who you are, that you are the person that's named on the payable on death beneficiary designation. Life insurance policies. You, again, name the person that are persons that you want to benefit from your life insurance policy. They have forms called beneficiary designation forms. You fill out the claim. You contact the life insurance company. Fill out the, they have, and that's why when I do these things for people, I make sure as much as I can that we actually put into the book. You hear me say I do a book for my clients that has not only the original and a copy of all their legal documents. I try to get people to bring me copies of their life insurance policies, at the very least, the front page, what we call the declaration page, that has the insurance policy number, the name and address of the company, and preferably the phone number of the agent, if there is an agent, and then also the beneficiary designation page. I like to get something in writing from the company that says that's what they have on file, not just your paper where you filled it out. I like the company to say, you know, this is who it's going to go to when I die. And again, that does not have to go through probate. All companies have a claim form that they will then send to you upon receiving notice that the person has died. You fill out that form, submitting proof of who you are, and usually they want a death certificate, and they send you a check. In brokerage accounts, if you have a Merrill Lynch or, you know, some kind of a brokerage account, it's called TOD, transfer on death. Same thing as with the bank account. Instead of POD, payable on death, it's TOD. You fill out the form and you say, this is who I want this account to be transferred to at my death. And it's called transfer on death. Retirement accounts. If you put in the name of who you want as your beneficiary, the retirement accounts are payable to that beneficiary. And with retirement accounts, you know, let's say it's a 401k or an IRA or something like that, you can roll over the retirement account into your own retirement account. So let's say a husband leaves his wife's name as a beneficiary on their retirement account. The wife can then have their broker or whoever it is that's doing their financial advising create a IRA, individual retirement account, for them, and roll that money into their own IRA. It's called an inherited IRA. And when you do that, you do not pay as much in taxes as you would pay if you just took all the money out at one time, because Uncle Sam wants his money. And, you know, that's pre-tax money usually. So there, those are the ways in which you can avoid probate by titling your property, designating beneficiaries, and so on like that. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't also say that another way in which to avoid probate is by use of a trust. By use of a revocable trust, you can also avoid probate. But it's not enough to just have the trust created. You also have to also fund the trust. In other words, you have to have your house or your property transferred into your name as trustee of your trust. You have to have your bank account transferred into your name as trustee of your trust. You have to have your life insurance policies payable into your trust, if that's your wishes, to be distributed according to the terms of the trust. The other thing that's important to know is without a trust, it is very difficult, if not impossible, to control the distribution over any period of time. A will or a probate says, here's the money right now, okay? It goes outright, period. A trust allows you to control the distribution over a period of time. So let's say if you have children or grandchildren and you want to make sure that the money that you're leaving, maybe from your life insurance policies or from the sale of your home, that money is going to be there when those children grow up. And you want to make sure that money is used to pay for education or, you know, whatever causes that you may want to make sure that they have health, education, maintenance, and support for the children if you have minor children or you're trying to help them. That's where the trust becomes really important. And when done right, it can be done and avoid probate, okay? We have to take one more break, and I will be back. And please do call in with your questions, please. This is Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I'll be back shortly.
District residents, act now and you can get discounted rates and shave hundreds of dollars off your utility bills. Utility discount program.
Back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. This is Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and we're going into the final section of the program. We've been talking about what probate is, how to avoid it, and I had just started talking about a trust and how that can help to avoid probate as well. A trust is very, very helpful when you have property in different states as well. Quite a few clients are from, especially in this area, they're from North Carolina, from South Carolina. And so they have property in those states as well as they have property in D.C. or Maryland or Virginia. And a trust is really very helpful because you can put the title to, now, title has to be in your name, okay? Can't just be heir property that's still in your grandfather's name or in 10,000 people's names. But if it's in your name individually, you can then have a deed done from yourself to yourself as trustee of your trust. And you say in your trust how you want those assets to be distributed, who's to get that property. And at the time of your death, your successor trustee is able to do a deed from themselves as trustee of your trust now to whoever you said was to get the property. And you do that without having to go through probate. If you do not have a trust to do that, then you have to open a probate where you live, Maryland, D.C., Virginia, get letters of administration, and then take those letters of administration to North Carolina, South Carolina, whatever other state that you may have property in, and usually you have to open an ancillary estate, it's called. In some states, you just have to file the letters, or what we call a triple seal. In other states, you have to actually open another probate and then get the property transferred across to your wishes. Probate is very long, it's very tedious, it's very expensive. There are lots of fees, and it's difficult. So as much as possible, I try to steer people away from probate. Even if you don't want to trust, let's make as much of your property transfer automatically at your death as possible without having to go through probate. You're listening to Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I'm on Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, my weekly program every Saturday mornings. From 8:30 to 10, where we talk about issues and things that are of importance and use this time to educate you about what the law provides. Please make sure that you and all the members of your family have power of attorneys, medical directives, and wills, especially those who are elderly and or those who are ill. Do not wait until they can no longer sign documents or they're no longer competent, because it's too late at that point. I cannot do a will or a power of attorney for someone who is incompetent. At that point, you have to go to court, have a guardian appointed. Guardians or conservators will take over their money, and you lose control over that money. And at the time of their death, the property goes, if they have no will, according to the law of intestacy. So please make sure that you and all the members of your family, especially the elderly and the ill, have a power of attorney, a medical directive, and a last will and testament. Make sure that you have a trust if that's appropriate, or even if you don't want a trust, at least have a will. Okay, that's really, really important. You need the power of attorney to apply for benefits. You need the power of attorney to check on their own insurance. If somebody's sick and they're in a nursing home or they're in the hospital, the insurance company doesn't have they don't have to talk to you. They don't have to listen to you if they have not signed the power of attorney and medical directives and so forth. Make sure that you are empowered to be the HIPAA agent, okay? Make sure that there is a last will and testament. And if there was a last will and testament that was drawn up more than 5 years ago, please have it reviewed. Please bring it into a lawyer and let that lawyer have it reviewed. If you have become sick but still not able to manage, or whatever, let us look at it for you. Make sure it was executed properly and it's still appropriate for what you want. you know, these documents can be changed and often should be changed because life changes. It's very, very important. Remember, I always say, this is Attorney Ethel Mitchell that you're listening to. The will for a family or a person in a family with children is going to be different from a will, and I say children, I mean adult children too, okay, will be different from a family that may have a disabled child or family that may have no child. You know, I say family, but a will is individual, let me be specific. A will for a person who wants to benefit their church or their a charity of some kind is going to be different from a will for someone who does not have those charitable intentions. Okay, so please, you can use a trust to make sure that elderly people that you love are taken care of if you die before them, and to also provide that when they die, that money is available to younger generations as well. Okay, so please have someone to take a look at your assets and to put them in order to take care of you as well as to take care of those that you want to at the time of your death. We're very wealthy people. Marketers know that, you know. We need to use our wealth to protect and promote those values that are important to us. You've been listening to Attorney Ethel Mitchell. This is Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, where each week we provide important information that is useful for you, hopefully, in your daily lives. I often have good news, and there is good news. I mentioned in the last program that I just came back from the National Bar Association's 91st Annual Convention. That is the organization that represents over 60,000 black lawyers, primarily African-American lawyers throughout the world. Primarily in the United States, but there are foreign chapters as well. In fact, next year's conference is going to be in Toronto. Ben Crump, who you know as Trayvon Martin's lawyer, as Michael Brown's lawyer, just stepped down as president and turned over the gavel to Kevin Judd, who's here in D.C. Both have been guests on Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'll be bringing you more information about the initiatives of the organization. Next week, actually, I will be in New Orleans, where I went to school at. But while I'm there, I don't know if many of you remember, but about a year and a half ago, I had the owners of the Whitney Plantation. I want everyone to look it up, W-H-I-T-N-E-Y Plantation in New Orleans. I'm going to go to that plantation and meet with the owners and the Dr. Sec. It's the only plantation dedicated to the history of slavery. I'm trying to do a series on slavery because I think we need to truly understand the truth of it so that we can deal with the reality of our own situation right now. So I'm going to go with one of my best friends who just retired as executive director of the Rosa Parks Museum in Montgomery. So when I get back, I will hopefully have some very good information and interesting information for you. In the meantime, please tune in next Saturday when we will be back with more information and important stuff that you can use in your daily life. Stay safe and remember to find out, make sure you can vote and vote, please. Have a good week.
Radio One Station and worldwide at WOL DC News.